It's the Feast of St. Stephen, Boxing Day, the 26th of December. Welcome to today's Christmas cast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. What Christ did in his own human nature in Galilee, he is doing today in every city and hamlet of the world where souls are vivified by his Spirit. He is still being born in other Bethlehems of the world, still coming into his own and his own receiving him not, still instructing the learned doctors of the law and answering their questions, still laboring at a carpenter's bench, still going about doing good, still preaching, governing, sanctifying, climbing other Calvaries, and entering into the glory of his Father. Bolton Sheen. From The Church's Year of Grace by Pius Parsh. In order to flourish, God's kingdom requires martyrs. In the Gospel, Christ points to a whole list of divinely commissioned men, from Abel down to the present, who were put to death. It is ever the same with God's kingdom on earth. The Feast of St. John gives further information on what is needed. For membership, there are two requirements, God's call and man's wholehearted compliance. John heads the list of Christ's friends, those who will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The holy innocents, too, by liturgical standards, are Christian heroes. Thus, as the king proceeds, he is not alone. He is followed by the glorious retinue of his kingdom. From The Sacramentary by Blessed Ildefonso Schuster. The basilica where today's station is held was begun by Pope Simplicius, but only finished under John I and Felix IV, by whose direction the mosaic decoration was carried to completion. The Feast of St. Stephen, on the other hand, is much more ancient and appears even in the Laterculus of the Arian Martyrology, which goes back to the last 20 years of the 4th century. It would indeed seem as if, in order to give additional grandeur to the Christmas festival, the greatest saints had wished to gather around the cradle of the Christ child, especially those who had some particular connection with the mystery of his incarnation. St. Gregory Nyssa records them in the following order: Stephen, Peter, James, John, Paul, and Basil, while later Greek documents give, in addition, David, St. Joseph, and the Magi. From the first half of the 5th century, shortly after the discovery of the relics of the proto-martyr, several basilicas dedicated to him were built in Rome. There were two of them near St. Peter's, St. Stephen Cata Galla Patricia and St. Stephen Cata Barbara Patricia. Another one was erected on some land in the Via Latina, belonging to Demetrius, which was bequeathed by her to Pope Leo I. This Demetrius, the daughter of Sextus Anicius Hermogenianus Olibrius, besides being a friend of St. Augustine, who presented her with some relics of the proto-martyr, was a recipient of a celebrated letter from Pelagius on the devout life. During the Middle Ages, the piety of successive popes multiplied sanctuaries dedicated to St. Stephen throughout the city, until they numbered at least 35, including several monasteries, Latin as well as Greek. When we consider, therefore, the popularity of the cultus of the first martyr, the solemnity with which today's station on the Coelian was celebrated will cause no surprise. The Pope, accompanied by the cardinals and the court, all gorgeously apparelled in silken garments, set off on horseback from the Lateran for the Coelian Hill. The trappings of the papal charger were of rich scarlet, while the pontiff wore the tiara and the white panula, which was the traveling dress of the ancient Romans. At the church of St. Stephen Rotondo, he laid aside the tiara and the white garments in order to put on the red vestments in which he celebrated Mass. When it was over, he remounted his horse, and the procession returned to the Patriarchium, where the customary distribution of money took place, Presbyterium, and the ritual banquet in the Triclinium. The order of Peter Emilius prescribes that it should be served with all decorum, and that the chaplains, acolytes, auditors, and penitentiaries should take part of it, to each of whom a measure of pepper also was distributed. In the case of the indisposition of the Pope, the Mass for today was allotted to the cardinal priest of St. Clement, since the cardinal St. Stephen took by right the place of the pontiff on Christmas Day. Vespers were sung in the afternoon in the Lateran, the Pope taking part therein, vested in a mitre and a red cloak. What do we know of St. Stephen? Well, we can look in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 to 8. He is one of the seven men chosen at the institution of the diaconate. The dissension in Jerusalem in the church between the Jewish and Greek-speaking widows about distribution of food forces the apostles to find a solution. They were being distracted from preaching the gospel, and therefore they pray, and they install seven reputable men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and they laid hands on them. In other words, they are ordained sacramentally. There are those who think that women can be ordained sacramentally as deacons these days. They are wrong. Among the seven men who were ordained was a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, and this is Stephen. So very quickly, we hear that Stephen preaches to a group of Greek-speaking Jews, some of whom perhaps were from outside Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, from the diaspora, who were rejecting his message, even though he performed great signs and wonders among the people. And they denounce him to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish reigning body. And repeating the accusation that was used against Jesus, they perjure themselves against Stephen. And Stephen, defending himself, launches into an accusation of Israel's infidelity to God throughout salvation history, and this is in Acts 7, and the Sanhedrin is infuriated. Then St. Stephen says that he has a vision. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And that infuriates them to the point where they rush on him like a mob. Remember that the Lord used similar language when speaking with Caiaphas during his own kangaroo trial. In both of those cases, the vision alluded to Daniel 7, where the prophet speaks of a vision of God in heaven, describing him one like a son of man. And so son of man means an individual, but it is also a title that Jesus associated with himself. And it wasn't all that long before that they would have heard the Lord himself say that. In effect, what the Lord was saying is a divinity claim, and this is what now Stephen is saying, and they considered that blasphemy, and they rush on him, covering their ears, and sentence him to be stoned. That's exactly what they do. And while they are killing him with rocks, Stephen demonstrates himself to be a true follower of Jesus by repeating Jesus' own words from the cross. He asks that they be forgiven for their deeds and that the Lord should receive his soul. So clearly, this is the way of Christ's disciples. After that, we learn that devout men buried him and made a loud lament over him. The Collect for the Feast of St. Stephen in the Vetus Ordo. Let us pray. Grant us, we beseech you, O Lord, to imitate what we celebrate, so that we may learn to love even our enemies. Because we keep the anniversary of the invention of him who knew how to plead even for his persecutors with our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Oremus, da nobis quaesimus Domine imitari quod colimus, ut discamus et inimicos diligere, quia eius inventionem celebramus, qui novit etiam pro persecutoribus exorare Dominum nostrum Iesum Christum filium tuum, qui tecum vivit et regnat in unitate Spiritus Sancti, Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen.